Yeah! Welcome to the Compass Podcast, featuring Chris Chandro and the Compass team. We hope this message is just for you.
Last week, we kicked this off, and we decided we're just going to talk about, you know, the elephant in the room when it comes to church life, and we are going to talk about money. Now, money's one of those things that, you know, sometimes churches want to tiptoe around or don't want to talk about because, I mean, let's just be honest, talking about money in polite company is just not something that you do very often. In fact, I think if many of us were going to be honest, we would say some of the biggest fights that we have ever had with our spouse had to do with money, right? It's just one of those things that when you talk about it can stir the pot up and like there's feelings, strong feelings one way or another about how do you spend it, what do you do with it. And so last week we talked about, you know, the idea of giving up to God and saying, you know what, I'm going to make a decision that I'm not just going to live life where with my money that I live with it, I consume, I spend it on stuff that I want to give to quality life, and that I save it, I put it aside for a rainy day. Live and save are good, but live and save are incomplete without give. And so really God's plan for us is to give, save, and live. And so that's kind of where we started last week. But really, a question when it comes to that is, what does that actually look like in the real world for us? How do you start to live that out? What does it look like to live a life of giving and saving and living? And so this morning, we are going to cut right to kind of the gooey center of you know, the godly way to deal with money. And we're going to talk about one of the kind of spiritual issues related to it, this morning, we are going to talk about tithing. Yes, this morning we are talking about tithing. Now, tithing is a sticky issue. Now, some of you guys, maybe you're not terribly church. Church is kind of a new experience for you, or you're not a Christian. Listen, if you're not a Christian this morning, I want to give you permission to kind of just sit aside and observe what it is we're talking about, because this really is in many ways a message for how people who are followers of Jesus are going to live with their money. Although I will tell you this, the principles we're talking about can impact and transform your life financially. But tithing is one of those sticky issues, and because a lot of people don't really get it. And I think the deal is that people are really comfortable with spiritual things, right? People are comfortable talking about, you know, prayer and the Bible. People love spirituality because everybody wants to know God. Talk about the Bible, prayer, you know, purity, salvation. You know, everybody's all in. And all those words kind of feel very personal and mystical even. You know, I'm a spiritual person. But the second that you start talking about money and you start specifically talking about tithing, then it's like, whoa, 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 hey man, I don't need your rules, okay? I just want to know God. I don't need all these spiritual rules and regulations that you're trying to put on me. And for some of us, tithing even, it can seem like this deal that is not very Christ-like, right? I mean, some of us look at how Jesus lived and how he interacted with the poor, and then you're like, okay, I don't really see tithing as something that Jesus would have really been into. And for some of us, it can seem out of line with the way that Jesus taught. And so what I want to do is I want to start off today by talking about what is tithing. We're going to get into some of the deeper stuff, but really, let's just start at the beginning. What is tithing? What does it even mean? And so we're going to start in Leviticus chapter 27, and we're going to go old school. We're going Old Testament on you this morning. And Leviticus is essentially, it's a collection of the rules and laws that God handed down to the people of Israel at the very beginning of their relationship. And God said, these are the things that you need to do in order for you to live well and to succeed and to progress in the land and for us to have a good relationship. And God says this to the people of Israel in Leviticus 27, chapter 30. It says, 1/10 of the produce of the land, whether grain from the fields or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord and must be set apart to him as holy. So this verse summarizes ultimately what tithing is. And that is, it's a 1/10 gift brought to God. And the word tithing, literally, tithe literally means 1/10. That's what that word means. It means 1/10. So it's a very easy thing to get. So let me kind of illustrate this. Does anybody have cash? Anybody have cash on hand? Okay, Jordan, come here. So I'm gonna kind of illustrate what this principle of tithing looks like with someone who has some cash on hand. Don't worry, it's gonna be all right, I promise. So tithing is a 10%, it's a percentage giving, and that's kind of what God laid out. So Jordan, how much cash do you have with you?
$10.
Is this all you have?
Yeah.
Okay, so Jordan has $10. So come here real quick. So for Jordan, these are all ones too, this is perfect. So Jordan has $10 in ones. So ultimately, this is what tithing is. Jordan says, I got $10, I take $1, and then Jordan, you can take the $9, and you can go back to have your seat. That ultimately is tithing. She takes her 10. She gives, I'm God. She gives me one and then goes back to her seat. 10%. Now, okay, here's what's great. Some of you guys are like, that's kind of a jerk move, Chris. What's your deal? Taking that poor girl's money? Uh-uh. How many of you would feel different if you knew that I gave Jordan the $10 before service? Yeah, so yeah, okay, I can live with that. So I gave Jordan $10. I put it in her hand, and I said, I'm going to use you as an illustration. And what I want you to do is I want you to come up, and you know we're going to do this thing. And so the reality is this. With Jordan, she's not out $1. She's up 9. Because the 10 that she had, it started with me. I gave it to her. And that ultimately is what God is trying to communicate to us out of the tithe. And some of us wrestle with the idea of this 10% tithe and how can this be biblical? And you know, God gave me the money, he wants me to manage it, and I want to be generous, but this whole like rule thing is tough for me. The reality is it's not about the number 10 as far as a percentage. It's about the trust. It's not about a tenth. It's about trust, and it's about this understanding that what you have in your wallet, what you have in your purse, what you have in your bank account, it was something that God gave you. Just in the same way that I gave $10 to Jordan. See, Jordan's not out a dollar, she's up 9, because I gave it to her. And that's what God does with us. He gives us our resources. He provides for us. And so this concept of tithing is really just, it's not even about giving, it's just about returning. Jordan returned a dollar to me, because it was mine to begin with. I gave it to her to manage. And so she returned a dollar. And that's what tithing is. It's this 10% principle that God instructs us to return back to him through his church. And so the question is this. I mean, that's even talking about that, right? Like, so I just explained the tithe. And it really just felt like, you know, the doctor explained what that boil is on your back and like what it means. That was very like clinical and like, okay, that was, you know, thanks, Chris. That's the tithe. I really appreciate that. But there's nothing moving about that, right? Anybody like, well, man, Chris just explained the tithe. So now I'm going to get my checkbook out and I'm in. Most of you are like, you're like, I'm not raising my hand, but that is not me right now. Because the idea of tithing, it's not a terribly exciting thing, right? Tithing is not sexy when it comes to like what you do with your money. Like, you know, popping tags and, you know, Cristal on a yacht. None of those things are really actually. But when you think about spending your money, tithing is not one of those things that you're like, oh. And even, you know what? Man, when it comes to giving too, even in the church, think about like how we give in America and in the church. We, you know, last Christmas, we gave a ton of money as a church to buy Christmas gifts for kids who are in foster care, for teenagers who are in foster care, kids who have nothing, kids who, some of them are living in homes, some of them are with families that they bounce around back and forth. Most of these kids never see anything for Christmas. And we went all in as a church to buy them computers, game systems, laptops, Air Jordans. And you know, a couple weeks ago, if you remember, maybe you were here, the Children's Home and Aid, the organization we worked with, they brought a bunch of baked goods that they made for us just to say thank you for that, because the kids who there were so moved by what we'd done. Some of those kids said that they've never gotten anything like that in their entire lives. And for us in the church and for us in America, that kind of giving is kind of easy, right? That idea of giving to meet a need, and I call it that type of giving, that's intervention giving. So what it is this. We see a need. We see something that's broken that needs to be fixed, and we intervene. And dude, intervention giving is the best because it's emotional. Like you can feel it when you look at a kid who's in foster care and he's, you know, running around in the same pair of jeans he's had for 2 years because he's got no money. He's just got nothing. He never gets anything for his birthday or Christmas because he's just in the system. That's emotional. We want to fix that. And when we buy a kid a Christmas gift, or when we give to buy journey bags for foster care, or when we donate to One Day to Feed the World like we did just several months ago, you know, the people who can't eat, like we see a result, right? We see a tangible result. So we're given to something that feels emotional, that you can feel it. And then when you give, you know that's going to a specific need. And so it's this idea of intervention giving. But there's a second type of giving that we in the United States and in the church that is a little more distant to us and is a little harder for us to grasp. And that is related to what we're talking about today, percentage giving. And I would call that prevention giving. See, intervention giving, you see a need, you see something that's broken, and you give to fix it because we want to fix things. But prevention giving is a little different because prevention is less emotional. And with prevention, you don't really see the result. So, I mean, think about this. Think about You know, I actually have talked to several, as a pastor, I have lots of couples come and they want to talk about marriage issues. And, you know, we have people request, hey, can we do some sort of marriage, you know, conference, that type of thing, because we want healthy marriages. And for the most part, that type of, those types of questions and those types of things come after a problem is already established. And I think that for those of us who are married, if we were in a situation where there was tension in our marriage, there was, you know, we were struggling, we're going through hard times, which often marriages happens in marriages, the idea of going and finding intervention to get help with that, I mean, that's a no-brainer, right? You're going to do that. But how many of us really think that the idea of doing premarital work is like a big deal? I mean, marriage counseling after a problem is there is easy. It's a no-brainer. But the idea when you're young and engaged and in love and everything's just butterflies and puppy kisses and everything's just beautiful, the idea of like sitting down and reading a book on how to make a budget, no, thank you. I just want to gaze into her eyes and see rainbows. You know what I'm saying? So the prevention work, nobody really wants to do the prevention work. Intervention, we're all about. I mean, think about this too. Like, just think about our health. When it comes to our health, this is just me. I'm willing to bet that it's some of you. But if something goes wrong and I'm feeling sick, dude, I'm like, what surgery do I need? Okay, doc, just give me a prescription. Cut me open. Just fix it. I don't care. But go to the gym every day, I'm going to pass on that because I got other stuff to do. Prevention is no fun. And intervention is like, yeah, I'm fixing a problem. And so prevention is not something that we as people do. And when you think about a kid who is coming out of an abusive home, or when you think about a girl who's been physically, sexually, or verbally abused, you know, we want to make that right. And seeing that child taken out of the home or placed somewhere where she's safe, and seeing her resourced to grow and to get healthy, we're all about that. But what if the church could exist and the function of the church could be one where that little girl was never abused in the first place because her family had biblical and godly values spoken into their lives? What if that mom who is going to get addicted to prescription painkillers because of the stress and anxiety in her life, and she doesn't know how to manage it. What if, rather than intervening with the addiction issue in her life, what if that could be prevented because she was engaged in a community group at Compass, in a group of ladies, and they were looking at the Bible and looking at what the Bible says about how to live, and all of a sudden these stress issues never reached the point where she's opening up a bottle of pills to try and make it through one more day. And so I want to talk to you today about prevention giving. And ultimately, you know, that's what tithing is. Tithing is a principle that God has given us so that we can say, you know what, God, I trust you and I recognize this. This came from you first. Okay, this, God, you provided for me, this came from you. I trust you and I believe that you are going to continue to meet my needs. But the second half of that equation is this. It says, you know what, God, I trust you to meet my needs, but I'm also invested in giving into your kingdom, even if I see no return at all. Because prevention giving, sometimes you don't see a return at all. You don't know what diseases you're going to miss out on because you have a habit of exercising and eating healthy. You don't know what kind of speed bumps you're going to miss in your marriage because you invested in preventative relationship maintenance ahead of the curve. You don't know. And prevention giving, like I said, it's not sexy because you don't see the changes. But you know what? The changes are there. And when you invest the tithe into God's church, when you invest it into what he's doing in Bloomington Normal, in our community and in people's lives, you don't know the children who are told that they're special and that they're loved who may never hear that at home because you helped fund a kids pastor or a kids worker. You don't know the teenager who is not going to get sucked into some pornography addiction on the internet because they had a youth leader who we were able to support, who could invest in their life early on. And so you don't have to fight the battle of helping to wash those images and those addictions out of their mind. Instead, you have the ability as a church to build up solid guidelines and guardrails in that person's life. Preventative giving, it's God's plan for us. It's about trust and it's about prevention. It's about changing things. But I think when it comes to tithing for us as people, I mean, I don't think there's anyone in here who would say honestly, like, Chris, I don't want to do that. I don't want to engage in percentage giving because I think that's a bunch of hooey. You know, most of us would say, I would love to do that, but I don't have the money to do that. I mean, look at my checkbook, dude. If you saw all the bills that I have to pay and you saw all the things I got to do, math is math and it does not add up. And so, you know, at the end of the day, I'm going to pay this and pay this. And tithing is just not, it's just not on there. I can't make that happen. And so I think for many of us, there's a lot of other things that we need to deal with first. We want to give. We want to be generous. We want to be invested in what God's doing in Bloomington Normal and through our church. And we want to be generous. But it feels like once we cut all the pieces of our pie up and we pass those things out to the things that we got to pay off, our house, our cars, you know, our kids, hobbies, you know, all of those things, that there's just so little left that there's nothing left to give. And so when it comes to the tithe, you know, I want to continue reading in Leviticus chapter 27 because there's another principle that God gives us to kind of walk us through this and figure out how do we get past this pie principle so that we're not just consuming everything and nothing's left behind. In Leviticus chapter 27, 32 through 33, just after this, the first passage we read, it continues and says this. It says, "Count off every tenth animal from your herds and flocks and set them apart, for the Lord is holy. You may not pick and choose between good and bad animals, and you may not substitute one for the other." So this is an interesting part of this passage to me. So the passage has been set up. You know, we're instructed that we're supposed to give one-tenth of all our produce and stuff. So, I mean, like, if you're a shepherd in here, so bring just one-tenth of your sheep. Most of us don't have sheep, and so that would be our income. But here's what he says after that. He says, and this is how I want you to do it. He says, I want you to line up all your sheep, and I just want you to count off every tenth one and just go. Just right at the very beginning of everything. Just count off every tenth one. Don't check their hooves. Don't look at their teeth to make sure that they're your big producers. I just want you to give me what comes up because I want what's best. See, let me illustrate this. I love Oreos. Mint Oreos are great. I like golden Oreos. I'm just a kind of a cookie fanatic. And my kids also like cookies because they're children. And so what we do in my house is that when I buy the Oreos I like, I put those in a place where my children cannot see them and do not know they are there. And then I go to Aldi's, or my wife goes to Aldi's, and we buy the cheapest cookies we can find, and those are the cookies for my children. So at the end of the day, you could say, well, I mean, everybody's getting cookies, so right? It's all equal. Well, it's not equal because I'm eating a $4 bag of cookies and my kids are eating a $1.20 bag of cookies and they have twice as many cookies in their bag. And let's just be honest, their cookies stink compared to my cookies. But the reason I keep the good ones for myself is because I just want them. I just want the best cookies. And so, you know, if my kids catch me eating one, I might like tear off the top half of the Oreo, scrape off a little cream and give them that. But at the end of the day, I want the best cookies for me. And as long as everybody's got cookies, it's all right, right? God knows that that's in us. He knows that there's this thing in us that wants to hold on to what's best for us. And it can be out of fear. It can be out of anxiety. I don't know what I'm going to have tomorrow. I don't know if I'm going to be able to have what's awesome, you know, a week from now. And so I got to consume what's best for me now. And so God creates this tithing principle. And he says, look, I want you to do this first. I want you to line up and just pick out one out of every 10. This is what God is saying. He's saying, when you give to me, don't discriminate. Okay? So, like, for example, take this pie video. The way that we can give and the way God wants us to give is we give to God first. So when we get a paycheck, when Terry and I get paid, the first thing we do is we tithe. And actually for us, we automate it. It's in the computer system. And so it just goes. Some people like to write a check because there's something tangible about it. But when we get our check, the first thing that goes is a tithe. Because we've been tithers for years and God's proven in our lives that it's something that is worth doing. And he's proven himself over and over again that he can take care of us. And so we do it first. We don't pay our bills first because you know what happens when we pay our bills first? All the money is gone. And at the end of it, you're just going, I can't do this. And you just give God the leftovers. You give God, you know, the tip, whatever's left in your pocket. And what we found is this, is that when we give first and when we don't discriminate in what we give, that living on the 90% is way easier than living on the 100% that we lived on when we weren't trusting God. Because here's the reality, is that when it comes to money, giving is a heart issue, not a wallet issue, not a money issue. Giving is about your heart, not your wallet. Especially percentage giving. It's not about what you have. It's not about what's in your bank account. It's about who do you trust? And so a question to ask ourselves is this, is that do I trust my ability to live on the 100%? more than I trust God's ability to provide for me on the 90%. And can I tell you, in our lives, being people who have been tithers for years and years and years and years, man, God has come through for us over and over and over again. And I know this is weird, it doesn't make sense, but like the fact of the matter is there have been times in our life where we should not have been able to make it financially. We have been dirt broke poor. Not even that long ago were we dirt broke poor. When we moved to Kansas City to take our first ministry position, we took a massive, massive pay cut. And not only did I take a pay cut, Terry wasn't working anymore, and we were broke with a capital B. We had nothing. In fact, we were so broke that we were going to another church that had a food distribution program so that we could buy food at a discounted rate, because we as pastors at a church couldn't afford to buy food at the grocery store because we were so broke. We had nothing. And Terry and I were talking about this, just, you know, knowing this financial series was coming up and we were going to be talking about this. And I kind of wish, actually, my wife is here. Terry, can we come up here? Make sure this mic gets recorded. This was not planned. I'm putting my wife on the spot, but she can handle it. She's a grown up. Guys, will you welcome my wife, Terry?
Things are really tight. And honestly, we were tithing and my heart was not in it. And really, I had a revelation, and God totally changed the way I think when I realized how Jesus loves us extravagantly.
I am to show others that love in an extravagant way. And, you know, I did end up getting a job. I was cleaning him houses, and we were making things work. We had three little kids at home, so things got a little better. And this I got better at sharing. And there was one day when I was at Aldi's, and the gal in front of me was using her debit card, and it was declined. And I was like, oh. And I felt like the Lord said, buy her groceries and tell her I love her extravagantly. And I was like, God, that's my emergency fund. But he was like, no, do it. You can trust me. And so I got up, and I was like, hey, here's just a random act of kindness. And I swiped and I paid for her groceries. And I was like, God loves you so much. He sees you and he loves you extravagantly. And the lady at the checkout was like kind of teared up. And it was awesome. Anyway, and God, here's the thing, is when you let God change the way you think and you just trust him, it'll change everything. Generosity changes you. And it's so a reflection of who Jesus is and how God loves us. So
when we talk about intervention giving and prevention giving, you know, Terry just kind of shared our experience. And I think for us, you know, I remember when we were early on in our marriage, just very the beginning of our marriage, and we made the decision to tithe. We'd grown up in church our lives. We'd grown up around tithing. And I mean, I was in high school and I had a job and I tithed. And when we got married, we were very, very poor. And we were pretty spotty on that. And I remember when we made the decision that, no, this is going to be a lifestyle for us. This is going to be something that we do forever and ever and ever. It didn't mean that there weren't times where we weren't, you know, wishing we had more. Because in fact, one of the things that is interesting to me about all this is if there's anything that I wish, any regrets that I have about choices I've made in the past, or anything that if I could go back and change, all of those things that I would want to change have to do with the way that I have used and managed my money in the past. And most of that comes at those moments where there's an opportunity for intervention giving, right? Because I want to be the guy when our church finds an opportunity to serve someone or to help someone in our community, or that financially we can show the love of Jesus by providing something for someone. I want to be the guy who can write a $500 check without even thinking twice about it. I want to be the guy who can go to a big full bank account and say, I can do a huge check today. And you know what? I can do that because I was smart with my money and I want to bless people, and I want God to use my financial resources. And when I look back at some of the regrets from my past, most of those have to do with finance, because they set me up into a place where I can't give as much as I want to now. And so even though intervention giving is the way that we're trained to give, even though intervention giving is the way that we want to give the most, there's another benefit to preventative giving. There's another benefit to percentage giving, and that's this. It's not just about cutting off things before they happen. It's not just about marriages being saved because we're investing in the church so that we're not dealing with divorce. It's not just about connecting with teenagers and kids because we're resourced to do that in a way so that we're not trying to clean up a messed up teenager's life after the fact. Those things are important, and those things matter because the church, the local church, Compass Church, is engaged in those things. But it's about, what are you preventing? What are you preparing yourself for in your own life? You see, we all want to be intervention givers. We all want to be able to drop that big check. We all want to be able to give in the moment when giving is what's called for. And can I tell you, percentage giving, preventative giving, when you don't see a need being met, when it's not emotional, when it's a choice, when it's a decision, when you're actually just counting off your sheep and saying, okay, I got to give 10% of this, 10% of this, 10% of this. The non-sexy type of giving is the very giving that prepares you to be able to intervene when God gives the opportunity to do that. Because what you're doing is every week, every month, you're training your heart, you're training your mind to trust God. You're training yourself to let go, to open your hands and to say, God, whatever you want to do with whatever I have, you can take it all. It's yours. And so that when those intervention moments come up, when we do journey bags, when we buy Christmas gifts for our foster care teenagers, when we do something like One Day to Feed the World, when we engage with our local food bank, when those things come, it's easy to give because you know what? We've trained ourselves every week, every month to give and to give and to give. And how much better to give when you see nothing in return when the opportunity to give comes and you can see a huge return. You see, it's not just about preventing things from happening in other people's lives. Percentage giving is about what God wants to prevent from happening in your life. And that's this. He wants to prevent you from getting to a place where you trust yourself to provide your own resources instead of trusting him to provide those things for you. That's what percentage giving is all about. Because at the end of the day, the bottom line is this. This is God's heart, this is my heart, and this is the heart of this church. We don't want anything from you. We want something for you. God doesn't want anything from you. He wants something for you. We don't want your money. We want God to be able to move in a powerful way in your life because you're trusting him with everything that you have. We want something for you, and that's what this is all about. And so if you've been living your life, maybe you've been living paycheck to paycheck, you've been living hand to mouth and you're stressed and you're anxious. Listen, can I tell you, that's not the life God wants you to live. God doesn't want you to live in a way that there's pressure and anxiety. God wants you to live a life that's free to trust him. God doesn't want you living a life where you're always trying to hold on to these and saying, oh, I just lost that, I lost that. God wants you to live a life where you can say, man, I'm up $9, so I can return the one to God without giving it a second thought because I trust him, because he's my source, because he's my provider, and because he's the one who's going to intervene on my behalf. That's God's plan for you. That's God's plan for you when it comes to your finances, and that's God's plan for you when it comes to your money. And so what we're going to do is this. I'm going to challenge you. There is another passage about tithing in the book of Malachi, and I'm not going to read you the whole passage. I'm just going to read you a short part of it. In Malachi chapter 3, it'll be up on the screen. God's talking to the people of Israel, and they're wondering, what's going on, God? Why aren't you coming through for us? What's going on? You know, you're not helping us. And God says this. He says, look, you're cheating me. You're not giving, you're not tithing, you're not percentage giving. That's the problem. And then God says this in Malachi chapter 3, verses 12. He says, if you tithe, this is what's going to happen. I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great that you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Okay, God does not say, put me to the test very often. In fact, that's the only time in all of the Bible that says, you know what? Try me. Try me on this and I'll come through. And so what we're going to do as a church is we are going to do a Compass 90-day tithing challenge. I'm not even asking you to start today. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray about it. I want you to think about it. Because what we're asking you to do is this. For the next 90 days, to test God. To try him. Just like he says in his word, to test him and say, you know what, God? I'm going to test this thing out. You want me to be a percentage giver? I'm going to be a percentage giver. And you know what? I'll even tell you this. If 10% is too much of a leap for you, start with 5. Start with 1. Start with 2. Listen, God's heart for you is that you begin to trust him. And percentage giving is a way to do that. God's word talks about tithing, but you know what? When Terry was talking about our time in Kansas City, I remember she talked about how she got another job and she's cleaning houses and we made a little bit money. And I specifically remember the time where God told us that he wanted to increase our giving. And I remember sitting down with Terry going, babe, I really think we should give 20%. And she wanted to punch me in the face. I could see it. She almost started crying. But I was like, babe, this, I feel like this is what God wants us to do. So listen, the percentage is a number. A number is a number, but God wants you to engage in percentage giving. So next week, we are going to start a Compass Tithing Challenge for 90 days. And here's what's going to happen. I want everyone here to test God in this and say, God, I'm going to give you a percentage of my income for 90 days. Here is my guarantee and backup to you. And I'm giving you this guarantee because I trust God. When God says, test me, I trust that he's going to be able to do it. So my guarantee is this. If at the end of 90 days, if you have tithed and you don't feel like God has been true to his word, you don't feel like God has met you at your point of need, you don't feel like God has made more out of your 90 than he did out of your 100, we will reimburse, we will pay you back everything that you tithed for that 90 days. Every bit of it. All of it. We'll give it back. Because we trust that God can do what he says he's going to do. And so next week, I want you guys to do that. And this morning, I want to challenge you. Let's as God's church, let's say, Lord, I hear what you're saying. I hear what your word is saying. And I'm in. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to commit to do this thing. Next week, we're going to begin it. And my promise to you is this. When you begin to trust God with every aspect of your life, particularly the area of your life that's the hardest to let go of, just wait and see what God does in you. Wait and see what God does through you. And not only that, wait and see what God does through this church, through your church. When you engage not just your time, not just your energy, not just your effort, but every part of your life. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you, God, for really speaking to us about such a challenging topic. God, I pray this more than anything else. I pray that your heart in this is what would come through. Lord, I pray that there'd be nothing that I said that maybe people got stuck or hung up on, God, but that ultimately they would remember this, is that giving is a heart issue. It's not a wallet issue. And God, I pray that everyone in this room would be so fully conscious of the fact that it's not what you want from them, but it's what you want for them, that you want them to have abundant life, life that's full in trusting you with everything. And so, God, I pray, Lord, that as we pray about the tithing challenge that you've laid out for us, as we pray about being generous, as we think about what you're calling us to, how you're asking us to live, Jesus, I pray this, that you would move in us in a powerful and an exciting way. God, we trust you, and we pray that you would do these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us at Compass. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you have any questions about Compass or this message, contact us at our website, www.compasspn.com.